This is hour two of the last year in the life of the Beatles, 1969. I'm Paul Ingalls with Harry Norton.
January the 11th, the day after George Harrison quits the Beatles' recording sessions at Twickenham Studios, Led Zeppelin's first album is released.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you.
This is music writer Anthony DeCurtis again.
The main recollection I have of 1969 and the Beatles and pretty much everything else that was happening was just how fast everything seemed to be moving.
January 12th in the United States.
There's the final score. The Jets beating the Baltimore Colts 16-7 gives the AFL the first Super Bowl championship. They said it would be years before they play a close game, and they almost shut out the Colts today.
January 15th, the Soviet Union launches Soyuz 5 to dock with Soyuz 4, launched the day before.
Things are really accelerating, and it was very difficult to make sense out of everything as it was happening, because something equally important and strange seemed to happen right after it.
January 20th, Richard Milhouse Nixon is sworn in as the 37th President of the United States.
Each moment in history is a fleeting time, precious and unique. But some stand out as moments of beginning, in which courses are set that shape decades or centuries. This can be such a moment.
January the 22nd, the reunited Beatles, with George back, continue recording.
January 24th, martial law is declared in Madrid, Spain. The university is closed and over 300 students arrested.
January the 30th, the Beatles play on the rooftop of their Apple Records offices. A day later, they break off recording sessions and put the tapes on the shelf with no immediate plans to release them.
Get back. Thanks, Mo.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
This is Michael Gilmore. I wrote the article Why the Beatles Broke Up for Rolling Stone magazine. An argument was building about who should manage both the group and their business firm at that point, Apple, which essentially was handling their, not their recordings, but the recordings of other bands that they signed, but it was also the distributor for the Beatles. And it was their company. It had come out of Paul's vision as sort of an experimentalist socialist company, but it was beginning to collapse for all the good old capitalist reasons. And so there was a lot of anxiety about who would handle the Beatles and who essentially would save their fortune. And Lennon and Harrison put a great deal of pressure on Paul McCartney to accept Alan Klein, an accountant from New York, who had managed the Rolling Stones, among other artists, but had a somewhat shady reputation. McCartney wanted his girlfriend's father, his girlfriend was Linda Eastman, her father was Lee Eastman, a well-respected manager and attorney working out of New York. And the conflict went deep to the heart of everything that was pulling the Beatles apart. Issues about whether they should be a rough and tumble outfit or a sophisticated outfit. Issues about the directions they should follow. Issues about whether they should see themselves as a conceptual band or as a loose form band.
On February the 3rd, Paul McCartney plays drums, bass guitar, and sings backing vocals for My Dark Hour by the Steve Miller Band, who are recording in London. February the 5th, the Goodbye album by Cream is released in the US, featuring Badge, written by Eric Clapton and George Harrison, with Harrison on guitar.
Thinking about the times you drove in my car.
February the 8th, Unfinished Music, number 1, Two Virgins by John and Yoko enters the Billboard charts. The Experimental Recordings album peaks at only number 124 after 8 weeks on the charts. February the 17th, James Taylor's LP is released in the US on Apple. Paul McCartney plays bass on Carolina in My Mind.
A silver tear appearing, now I'm crying, ain't I? I'm gone to Carolina in my mind.
February the 22nd, after 88 weeks, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band finally drops off the Billboard Hot 100 chart. And the Beatles are back in the recording studio, laying down an early version of I Want You with Billy Preston. February 25th, 1969. George Harrison turns 26 and celebrates by coming into the Abbey Road Studios alone to cut demos of three of his latest compositions. All Things Must Pass.
Sunrise doesn't last all morning. A cloudburst doesn't last all day. Seems my love is up and has left you with no warning. It's not always been this great. All things must pass. All things must pass away.
Old Brown Shoe.
I'm stepping out this old brown shoe. Baby, I'm in love with you. I'm so glad you came, you won't be the same now, I'm telling you.
And something.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me. I don't want to leave now. You know I believe in how. Something in her smile, she knows that I don't need no other lover. Something in her style that shows me I don't want to leave now. You know I believe in how. You're asking me where my love grows. I don't know. I don't know. Stick around and measure. But I don't know. I don't know. Shows me I don't want to leave now. You know I believe in how.
March saw no new recordings from the Beatles, as each were deep into other pursuits, professional and personal.
In a Los Angeles courtroom March 3rd, Sirhan Sirhan admits to killing presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy the previous year. 1 week later in Memphis, James Earl Ray pleads guilty to assassinating Martin Luther King Jr. the previous year.
By 69, there was certainly a sense that, you know, we might not really make this work. You know, whatever the Summer of Love and all of these earlier kind of utopian notions that informed the 60s. By 69, there was an element of, you know, that none of that might really happen. You know, it started to get a little scary, to be honest. So that was a bit of a backdrop. So all of this fragmentation around the Beatles very well kind of suited that tenor of the times.
Also on March 10th, John Lennon and Paul McCartney point to the mountain of tape from the Get Back sessions and say to recording engineer Glyn Johns, make an album out of it.
Can't we settle our differences amicably?
No, son, no. Not while there's a cathedral standing.
Meantime, in March, Ringo Starr begins rehearsing for his appearance opposite Peter Sellers in the film The Magic Christian. And on March 12th...
London. Weepy time down south. The last bachelor Beatle was no longer a bachelor. Paul McCartney married New Yorker Linda Eastman. He'd gone and been and done it at Marylebone Register Office.
On the same day, Scotland Yard police raid George Harrison's home while the Harrisons are out. When they return, George and Patty Boyd are arrested for possession of marijuana discovered in a binocular case. They are later released on a bond of about $480 each. March 20th, John Lennon and Yoko Ono leave Paris for a half day in Gibraltar, where they get married. A week later, they stage their first bed-in for peace at an Amsterdam hotel. Also about this time, George Harrison goes to Eric Clapton's house instead of Apple offices. Wandering in Clapton's garden carrying an acoustic guitar, he writes Here Comes the Sun. April 7th, Goodbye, by Mary Hopkin, produced by Paul McCartney, is released in the US on the Beatles' Apple label. Songs that lingered on my lips excite me now and linger on my mind. That same day, McCartney oversees the final mix of the Get Back single, which, 4 days later, is released in the US, with Don't Let Me Down on the flip side. Billy Preston is given credit on the label, a first for a Beatles recording.
Get back, Loretta. Your mommy's waiting for you. Wearing a high-heeled shoe and a low-neck sweater. Get back home, Loretta. Get back to where you want to belong.
On April 14th, The Ballad of John and Yoko, documenting their marriage and honeymoon, is completely recorded with John Lennon on guitar and vocal, and only Paul on the rest, drums, bass, guitar, and harmony.
Standing in the dock at Southampton, trying to get to Holland or France. The man in the mask says, you've got to go back. You know they didn't even give us a chance. Christ, you know it ain't easy. You know how hard it can be.
April days ahead at Abbey Road, George's Old Brown Shoe is finished. There's more tracking of guitars for I Want You. Oh Darling run-throughs continue. And on the 26th, a good take of Ringo's Octopus's Garden is saved.
He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden, in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea.
That was superb.
A few days later, a two-year-old rhythm track is brought out of the closet. John and Paul overdub vocals, coughs and sputters. Rody Mal Evans adds the sound effect of a spade in a bucket of gravel for a track called You Know My Name, Look Up the Number, later released on the flip side of the Let It Be single in March
1970.
You're listening to The Last Year in the Life of the Beatles, 1969. More after this break.
Beard suits you, man.
Mm. Well, you know, I'm
Captain.
Yeah. But you know me about it. You know, I'm just sort of, I don't know about it. You know.
It's all that. It's like, to go away is such a good thing. But, you know, it's not just see it from the you get it. You know. And just like all the band, you know, it's too much. Because, you know, if they've got all that gear, but you know, it's like just the whole thing that is worth just living, and they just they have to be a band as well. You'd go down a bomb with them. Their favourite track was Ringo's track, because you know, all round there, because it's like, you know, that's their scene completely.
Are you gonna write another?